Daily Sports Talk, and it is my honor to have on the line Kenny Bruce, senior writer from NASCAR.com, as we kick off Speed Weeks here on Space Coast Daily Sports Talk. I can't think of a better guest to have on the line than Kenny Bruce. Kenny has been around automobile or NASCAR for a long time. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Kenny Bruce, K-E-N-N-Y, Bruce. And let's bring him in right now. Kenny, how are you today?
I'm doing good. You're right. I've been around a while, but not before the chariots. It was sometime after that, I think.
Kenny, I appreciate you taking time. I know we finally got a chance to talk here, so I'm going to take full advantage of it. And, you know, it kind of works out, too, because now we've had an opportunity to see what's happened on the track. And let's start first with the Advanced Auto Parts Clash that got rained out Saturday night with Joey Logano taking the checkered flag yesterday afternoon. Kenny, that was really 75 laps of some really good racing, lots of slipping and sliding going on. Your thoughts yesterday on the Advanced Auto Parts Clash?
Well, first of all, you know, I think one of the things that came out of that was we saw, you know, a lot like last year, the Toyota teams worked almost flawlessly together. You know, they were able to run strong all day. Two of their drivers, you know, led the bulk of the laps. So that's something that other teams have taken note of, had actually talked about what those teams were able to do last year. They talked about, you know, earlier this past week about, you know, we saw what they did and how they worked together and how it was, you know, yeah, each driver wants to win, but you know, if it's a teammate, then that's, you know, that's good as well. The movement of the race from Saturday night to Sunday afternoon, I think, was a big deal, because it was run under conditions that are going to be more similar to what the Daytona 500 is going to be run in, you know, during the middle of the day. So guys were, you know, okay, we've got sun on the track. It's hotter. It's more slick. Handling is a little more important now, where it's not as much, you know, a lot more grip generated out there at night. So I think everybody that was in that race benefited from it, regardless of where they finished. They have a better idea now of what to expect. Yeah, other teams will still be okay. They've got plenty of on-track time before then. But I think, yeah, we had several people comment on just how beneficial it was and how much they liked running that race on Sunday instead. And, you know, I mentioned the Toyota drivers, but you can't overlook, you know, the Penske guys and the Ford guys in general. You know, Joey Logano coming away with a win there at the end. And, you know, he obviously took advantage of the incident with Denny Hamlin and Brad Keselowski, but, you know, Brad, Joey's teammate, was battling for the win as well. So those guys, you know, you go back and look, and they've won like six of the last eight or nine restrictor plate races. So those guys are obviously going to be good here.
Let's talk about Denny Hamlin for just a second. Obviously involved in that incident coming around there to end the race. Denny Hamlin led the most laps in this 48 of 75 laps yesterday. Denny Hamlin is also your winner from that race last year. And, oh, by the way, Kenny, he also won the Daytona 500 last year. Denny Hamlin the favorite, even though he's not sitting up front?
Well, you know, he's one of the favorites, without a doubt. You know, there are a handful of guys, and we've heard it from several people this week, and I was amazed that, you know, we spoke with Dale Earnhardt Jr. on Saturday, and then Joey Logano as well. I spoke with him at one point in this hauler, and they were talking about guys that are good on plate races, and I was really surprised that both of them were talking about the same people. You know, they're like, you know, and Joey said it, I think, best. He said, you know, people always talk about plate races being a crapshoot, but when you go back and look at the guys that have won, you know, it's like they either win or they run really well. And he goes, that tells you it's not a crapshoot. Those guys know what they're doing. And I think Denny is one of those. His name was mentioned by both of those drivers. You know, you've got to look at Denny as a guy that can win the race. I think the biggest thing for him is going to be, you know, for him not to make mistakes out there. You know, I think he'll tell you that it was a mistake he made in the Clash race that cost him that win. You know, he moved down to attempt to block, but he did it too late. If he had a chance to do it over again, I'm sure he would have tried something different. But he's learned a lot. He learned a lot last year from this race, from the Clash, that helped him go on to win the 500. And I'm sure, you know, he remembers all of that. And he's got to be one of a handful, one of five guys maybe that, you know, if they win it, it's not going to be a big surprise.
Talking to Kenny Bruce, senior writer from NASCAR.com, Daily Sports Talk. And obviously I'd be remiss if we didn't spend a couple of minutes here talking about Dale Earnhardt Jr. Obviously missed a good portion of last season for concussion-like symptoms. Yesterday, I thought he did a fantastic job up in the booth. Obviously, a second career waiting for Jr. should he decide to go that route once he's done behind the wheel. But is he? How healthy is he? Your thoughts on Dale Earnhardt entering the 2017 Monster Energy Series season?
Well, honestly, I think he's in – physically, I think he's in the best shape he's ever been in. You know, he was already working toward that last year before the incident that kept him out the last half of the season. But, you know, the concussion protocol and everything that he went through and the recovery, he talked about how the doctors, you know, to a man told him, look, you'll be better than you were when you come back. Because you're doing things now that you didn't do before that's going to make you better, make you stronger mentally and physically. And, you know, I know he's eager to get back in the car, and I really look for him to have probably one of his better seasons, particularly since, you know, especially since he's been with Hendrick Motorsports.
Kenny Bruce from NASCAR.com yesterday tweeted out, I liked your tweet yesterday because I think it's symbolic of NASCAR when the more things change, Kenny, the more they stay the same, right? But having said that, never been an Elliott and Earnhardt front row for the Daytona 500 or an Earnhardt-Elliott 1-2. Your tweet said, make of that what you will. What do you make of that?
I just thought it was really interesting, you know, because I thought as well as Bill Elliott, Chase's dad, had run at Daytona in the past, and obviously as well as Dale Earnhardt, you know, Earnhardt Jr.'s dad had run as many races as he had won there. I just assumed that at one point those guys probably started on the front row. And it was kind of interesting to me when I went back and looked at it that hadn't been the case, even though both of them had started on the front row on occasions before. But, yeah, it's come back around now. Now we do have an Earnhardt and an Elliott on the front row, and this time they're teammates.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that works out to start the Daytona 500 coming up next Sunday. It's here already. Let's talk about the 2016 NASCAR defending champion Jimmy Johnson. Rough day for Jimmy yesterday twice. You know, Jimmy had problems yesterday. What did Jimmy have to say about yesterday's performance?
Well, I think he was surprised that the car got away from him when it did. I think it was unexpected, even though, you know, some people had talked about, you know, Junior had mentioned the fact that, you know, he'd lost a handle on the car there before. Chase Elliott did it last year in the 500. Alex Bowman, who drove in relief of Earnhardt, you know, in a handful of races at the end of last year, had spun it out before. So Junior felt like with his team in particular, with the 88 team, that there was a, you know, there might have been a little bit of a balance issue there. And we've seen Jimmy do the same thing. But, you know, you think about it, these guys, they're right on the edge every lap as it is. And now with the new package that they've got this year, that's, you know, taking, you know, a little more downforce off the cars. You know, it's not the same at Daytona. It'll be used at a bunch of other tracks, but still, you know, guys are playing around with things and trying to get as much speed as they can, get as much downforce off the cars as they can. You know, I don't know how much of Jimmy's situation was being around other cars, you know, and how that affects the air. He didn't seem overly concerned about it. But, you know, a lot of that's based on experience and the fact that they've been through issues like this before and they've always overcome them.
Talking to Kenny Bruce, senior writer for NASCAR.com. And, Kenny, who are some of, before we talk about some of the rule changes this year, new faces, new places that we need to be on the lookout for this year?
Well, probably one of the bigger changes is Clint Bowyer, you know, who had been with Michael Waltrip Racing until that team shut down, spent a year at H. Scott Motorsports, basically just waiting until Tony Stewart, you know, got out of the car at the end of last year to take over the number 14. I think he's one of the ones that everybody's going to be watching, because everybody knows that that is it is one of the powerhouse organizations. They've won plenty of races. Harvick won a championship with them in 14. So there's going to be a lot of expectations on Bowyer and that team, I think. I think that'll be the focus, will be on those guys. There will be some other ones, you know, Daniel Suarez, who won the Xfinity Series title last year, got the late call from Joe Gibbs Racing to come up and drive the number 19 when Carl Edwards decided to step aside. You know, there'll be a lot of attention paid to him. Another rookie out there, Ty Dillon, going into the 13 for Germain Racing. So there's enough change out there to make it interesting and give people something to look forward to seeing when the race gets started on Sunday.
How about the performance of Alex Bowman yesterday in Earnhardt's 88 Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet?
Yeah, Alex, you know, I mean, he lost out on second by you know, just a few inches with him and Kyle Busch there at the end. Alex did a tremendous job in that car last year. You know, he won the pole at Phoenix, which basically earned him the right to compete in this year's Clash. Earnhardt, you know, Jr. has talked about how good he is. And we've seen, you know, a lot of times guys get an opportunity in good equipment and maybe it just doesn't click, whether it's chemistry or whatever. But Alex seems like every time he's been able to get in that car, he's done really well. And I'm really surprised that he's not going to be running a full season, whether it's in Cup or whether it's in the Xfinity Series this year. But for right now, he doesn't have any more races planned.
Talking to Kenny Bruce, he is the senior writer for NASCAR.com. And it's an honor to have Kenny on here to kick off Speed Weeks on Space Coast Daily Sports Talk. And keep in mind, I'll be reporting live from Daytona International Speedway from Wednesday through Sunday this week. In fact, we'll be doing two of our shows up there coming up later on in the week. Stay tuned to Space Coast Daily, Space Coast Daily Television, and SpaceCoastDaily.com for details on that. All right, let's talk about NASCAR rule changes this year. And one of the things that some people up there are telling me is that NASCAR's really cracked down on inspections this weekend. Yes, you know, the Furniture Row Racing had quite a time getting through inspections. Eventually, everybody makes it through. Anything different this year in terms of inspections these drivers really need to be careful about?
Well, the biggest thing is normally, you know, there are a number of inspection stations that you have to go through. You know, there are different checks and balances that you go and a handful of stops you have to make throughout the entire process. And before, if you had an issue, say, with the template area of the car, they would pull you mm-hmm. aside, you would correct that, and that would be the only station you would have to go back through. Now, if you have an issue and you're say you've made it through three of the four stations and, you know, you have an issue at the fourth station, instead of being able to just go back through that one, you actually have to go back and go through each of the stations again. And it's basically to tell the guys, you know, on the teams, look, we're not messing around here. If you're not right when you come through, you know, it's going to be on you, you know, and it's going to slow you down. It's not going to slow us down. So you need to make sure you're right when you come through here. That's probably the biggest thing from an inspection standpoint. I think it's got the teams kind of concerned a little bit.
You've got stage racing that's new this year, Kenny, and I had to go through this a couple of times. to really come to grips with this and understand it. For example, Daytona is going to have two stages of 60 laps followed by a final stage lap of 80. Take us, I guess, Kenny, as best as anybody could, take us through what the heck this stuff is this year in the stage racing.
Well, for the most part, you know, it's every race is going to consist of three stages, and it's not exact, but because it's going to change depending on the length of the actual race itself. You know, 267 laps, some are 334, some are 500 at the shorter tracks, but for most of them, the first third of the first quarter of the race would be the first stage. The second would be the same amount of laps would be the second stage, and then the third and final stage would be either the last half of the race or, you know, at Daytona you've got 60, 60, and 80, as you said, so it's not quite half, but it's basically broken down into two quarters and the last half, or, you know, something along those lines. And now they have added incentive there of, you know, the top 10 guys at the end of each stage are going to earn points that you'll earn points that'll be added onto your total at the end of that race, as well as, you know, if you win a stage, you get a playoff point that you can use if you make the playoffs at the end of the year.
I began my career back in 1994 up in the Mid-Atlantic region, at least covering NASCAR for local outlets in the Mid-Atlantic region. And the race that I attended every year, twice a year actually, was the Monster Mile, was Dover. Now, the one thing that used to agitate me with Dover, Kenny, was the fact that I could, sitting in the press area or wherever I was, you could turn away for an hour and turn back, and you really didn't miss anything. Will that stage racing bring to an end, you know, long green flag racing? I mean, is the racing going to be exciting? How do you project this on the track?
Well, I think it will. I mean, there'll still be portions of the race, you know, where you don't want to say guys are just riding around, but they're not going to take a chance, you know, on lap 10 or lap 20 and put themselves out of possibly being in the top 10 when you're coming toward the end of that stage. By the same token, if you're not going to be able to get into the top 10, you know, as you get closer to the end of that stage, you're probably not going to do anything to jeopardize, you know, your chance at winning the race, because that's still the end goal. You still want to be able to be competitive and be around at the end of the race. So it's just going to depend. There'll be, you know, some of the racing will be a whole lot better between those guys in the top 10. Some people think, you know, the ones just outside the top 10 will be the ones to watch, because they'll be the ones trying to make a move and maybe possibly get up there and get some of those points. I think we need to see it play out first, but I do think it's a situation, like you say, you're not going to be able to just, well, I'm going to watch the start of the race and then I'm going to come back toward the end, because there's probably not going to be anything happen, you know, between those points. I don't think that's going to be the situation.
Right.
I think there's going to be plenty going on.
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to make it in terms of, you know, look, let's be honest. I mean, television ratings have dropped a little bit for NASCAR over the last couple of years. And I definitely think that this is something from a viewership standpoint that's going to keep you at the television set on Sunday afternoons. I'm very excited about how this actually does play out. And personally speaking, Kenny, you've been around the sport a long time. What is your personal opinion on this?
Well, I like it. I mean, I like the fact that they're trying it. You know, I think if you say this is what it is, this is what it's going to be, and we're not going to change anything, and people are losing interest in it, or, you know, you're not adding new fans, then I think you need to look at things and say, okay, are there little tweaks we can make to maybe increase interest or get some new fans interested in the sport? And, you know, they're not locked into things. I mean, NASCAR, I'll give them credit. If they do something and it doesn't work, you know, they're not going to sit on their hands and say, well, that's what it is. I mean, they'll look at it and figure out, okay, what can we change, you know, to make that better? Or if that doesn't work, how can we change it to do something that, you know, works better?
Talking to Kenny Bruce, senior writer for NASCAR.com. A couple of more for Kenny here. And Kenny, one of the most popular drivers on the circuit is Danica Patrick. She had a good finish yesterday, number four. She picked up a primary sponsor in Aspen Dental, which increased her involvement with the car this year. How do you project Danica Patrick's season this year?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's a lot different from the past year or two. I mean, I think she's in a situation where, you know, that she has to show improvement and that team has to show improvement. You know, the thing about it, you know, I think people kind of lose sight of the fact that when you look at Stuart Haas Racing, there's been one car over there, the four with Harvick, that has been, you know, that's been the top car there. And, you know, Kurt Busch has won races and made the chase, but he's not been nearly as consistent as Kevin and those guys have been. That's something that, as far as Danica's concerned, you know, she's got to show improvement herself, but I think the team has to improve as well, you know, to pick it up. I mean, the driver can only do so much, and at the same time, the team can only do so much. I think there's room for improvement for both of those guys. Yesterday, you know, it was a good run for them, and Danica typically does run well on the restrictor plate tracks. So if she's hanging around there at the end next Sunday, I'm not going to be surprised by that.
Yeah. Finishing up here, a couple of more, one or two more here for Kenny Bruce, senior writer for NASCAR.com. Give him a follow on Twitter. Love his in-race updates and his tweets, at Kenny Bruce, KennyBruce. And another interesting rule change, and Kenny, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. And I don't know, I don't really know how deep this rule change runs in terms of how much of an effect it's going to have, but I did notice that there was a difference in the way that the Monster Energy Series drivers could drop down and run in the Xfinity Series. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, basically what they're doing is they're trying to limit the number of races that those guys can run in. And it's a process. It's not something that they just went and said, okay, from here forward, we're going to change it. It's going to be this way. You know, last year they limited the number of races that they could run in. If you were, at the time, a Sprint Cup Series regular, you couldn't run in the Homestead race. This year they've changed that to where, you know, you can't compete if you were in the Chase the previous year or the playoffs now. They're kind of scaling back on the number of opportunities, but at the same time they realize that some of those teams exist because guys like Dale Earnhardt Jr. at Junior Motorsports, for instance, they're able to fill one of those cars because the sponsor knows that Junior will make a handful of starts in the car. And because he's going to do that, the organization's able to fill the car for the rest of the races and put somebody else in it. So NASCAR doesn't want to do away with that completely. They want to be able to allow these teams to grow. And you know, because it's a great training ground for drivers, for pit crewmen, for crew chiefs. It's a way to get, you know, maybe a sponsor that wants to come in but doesn't want to go up to the cup level just yet, you know, to kind of come in and get their feet wet and see what they think of it. But, you know, NASCAR has – I think they have everybody's best interest at heart in that, you know, they don't want to see cup drivers drop down and win all the races. But at the same time, they know there are people that go to those races to see the cup drivers because maybe they're not going to be there on Sunday to see the cup race.
Yeah, I miss the days, Kenny, honestly, back in the old days, old Busch series. And, you know, I still remember the great season that Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Matt Kenseth had in the Busch series. It was just phenomenal. The way those two went back and forth every week in the Busch series. And, you know, and the way Senior would ride Junior about how he was – I mean, it was just so much fun to watch. And when it was – you generally considered the Busch series, you know, the AAA to, at the time, Winston Cup. And I long for it to feel that way again, Kenny.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that changed, and, you know, it's just the way the business, you know, the sport – has evolved is in the early days of that series, you know, a lot of those guys that ran, you know, in the Cup Series and also ran, you know, a handful of races in what's now the Xfinity Series, they fielded their own teams. But they were able to do that. But, you know, as the sport changed today, you know, you almost have to have that Cup affiliation to be competitive, and that's why you see guys like, you know, Team Penske fielding an Xfinity Series team. Joe Gibbs Racing fields an Xfinity Series team. Junior Motorsports is part of Hendrick. Stuart Haas is adding an Xfinity Series team this year. It's just something that, you know, it's almost a requirement now if you want to be able to groom your talent and get them up to that next level.
Yep, no question about it. And who was one by the end of the season, when we have an opportunity to speak again, Kenny, in your opinion, who is one of the drivers that, you know, we don't typically talk about that we could be talking about? You mentioned Suarez, and aside from the rookies to keep an eye on, who is one driver whether it's a veteran or whether it's a rookie, that wouldn't surprise you if they finished in the top 15 this year?
Probably Boyer, you know, who we mentioned earlier,
yeah.
Because I think that, you know, like I say, there are going to be a lot of people focused on what they're able to do. You know, he over to, like I said, a really good ride. But at the same time, you know, Stuart Haas Racing made the change from Chevrolet to Ford this year, and people are wondering, you know, how much is that going to impact those guys, you know, from top to bottom. But he's one of them that really, you know, I mean, those guys, you know, Clint, you know, as obviously a talented driver, but they couldn't crack the top 10 last year. It was just
– right.
And people want to know, well, you know, is it the driver or is it the car? I think if he has a good year this year, and I definitely think he can, then I think he could be one of them that's in the top 15.
And then finally, on Friday, to sort of unofficially kick off our Speed Weeks here on Space Coast Daily Sports Talk, we paid tribute to Mario Andretti, who back in 1967, Kenny, won the eighth running of the Daytona 500 in one of the biggest upsets, I think, in Daytona 500 history. Kenny, as you reflect over covering the Daytona 500, what are some of the ones – I mean, I know some of these answers are obvious, but heading into this weekend, when you have a couple of minutes, if that ever really it does happen, when you sit down and you look at that track, what are some of the things that you reflect on personally about your time covering this race?
You know, I think about the early days when I – not when I was following it, but when I actually started covering it, and I came down, and you would see, you know, guys like, you know, Sterling Marlin get their first win, first career win, you know, ever, and it's in the biggest race for, you know, for a small team based out of Abingdon, Virginia, you know, Morgan McClure Racing at the time, and then Ernie Irvin won for those guys, and, you know, obviously, like you said, some of them are no-brainers, you know, Dale Earnhardt winning in 98, you know, Kevin Harvick and Mark Martin, you know, probably Mark Martin's best opportunity ever to win the Daytona 500. Was that 2007 maybe when they, under the lights and
yeah.
Boyer's on his roof and Harvick and Martin are drag racing to the start-finish line. Yeah, there's a lot of them. You know, you talk about Andretti. You know, I looked the other day and I was surprised there's only been two races, I think, run on February 26th, only two Daytona 500s, and Mario's win was one of them, and the other one was in 61. Marvin Panch won that race. So it's, you know, it's been a lot of really good races. Everybody talks about, you know, it's the first race of the year, it's the biggest race of the year, but it's very seldom. I can't think of any time when I've ever left here and thought, well, you know, I wish the race had been better, because I've always been completely satisfied with what I saw out on the track.
Yeah, I even enjoyed covering the Daytona 500 in the year it eludes me. I want to say it was 2009 or 8. I can't remember exactly when. Kenny, it was 8 hours as they filled potholes on the track. I even enjoyed that.
Yeah, there have been some times when you thought, well, I thought the 24 hours was a couple of weeks ago. I was like, no.
Kenny, listen, I really, when we get you back on during the halfway season, we'll get your predictions for the rest of the way. I know how moronic it is to make predictions now. So we'll get you back on halfway. And, Kenny, I'm going to seek you out when I get up there, because I definitely want to shake your hand and meet you in person. And thank you so much for staying with me here through the weekend and coming on Space Coast Daily Sports Talk and getting our Speed Weeks kicked off here.
Well, hey, listen, I appreciate the opportunity. I'm thankful for you guys having me on. It's always great to talk to you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you when you get up here on Wednesday.
Thank you so much. It's Kenny Bruce, senior writer for NASCAR.com.